bailed out again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The federal government allowed Lehman Brothers to die its horrible death, but the feds are not letting AIG go down in flames. Last night, the Federal Reserve agreed to save AIG from bankruptcy with an $85 billion loan. Joining us from New York is Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson. Jeremy, what reason is being given for AIG's rescue?
Well, we've been asking the question all week, Scott, is AIG too big to fail? And it looks like both sides in Washington, Republicans and Democrats, have decided that indeed it was too big to fail. You don't hear a lot of partisan bickering this morning about this deal. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the reasons it was too big to fail is that it is connected all over the world. There have been people saying that if AIG did fail, you'd have a cascading effect across the globe. The other thing is, unlike Lehman Brothers, AIG was not on anybody's radar screen until last week. So the market basically just didn't have time to prepare for this.
Yeah. Well, what are the terms of this particular bailout?
It's basically an $85 billion bridge loan from the federal government. In exchange for that, the federal government will get warrants, pieces of paper that say, if you don't pay this loan back, AIG, in 2 years, we'll take over up to about 80% of the company.
And how realistic is it to think that AIG could pay the money back?
Well, it's possible. AIG does have some parts of its business. It's a huge insurance company. It's got some parts of its business that are probably doing just fine, and they could conceivably sell those parts off and pay the money back. If they don't, obviously the taxpayers are on the hook for that $85 billion.
All right, Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
If you add up all the government bailouts and special loans so far this year, the tab comes to almost $1 trillion. And I guess all that has helped somewhat stabilize the stock markets, but they still don't seem very confident. In Japan today, the Nikkei gained about 1%, but shares in Hong Kong and London were down 3% at last check. Wall Street had 1% to 2% gains yesterday. The Dow added 141 points to 11,059. The NASDAQ was up 27. The S&P 500 put on 20. The price of oil is back up this morning to $95 a barrel. Let's hear some thoughts from commentator Robert Reich on this mounting bailout bill.
We haven't seen this much government intervention in the economy since Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. But this time it's Wall Street rather than the poor who's getting all the help. Free markets, by definition, aren't supposed to need government support. Companies whose shares plummet are supposed to be ripe targets for takeover without government subsidies and guarantees. Firms that need capital are supposed to be able to raise it without emergency loans from the government. So why are the free marketeers in the Bush administration rushing to Wall Street's aid? The answer goes deeper than the subprime mess. The street has suffered a serious erosion in trust. Yet trust is its most important asset. Financial markets trade in promises that assets have a certain value, that numbers on a balance sheet are accurate, that a loan carries a limited risk. If investors stop trusting those promises, Wall Street can't function. But in the last few years, many Wall Street promises have not been worth the paper they're written on. That's because when the securities market was roaring, many financial players had no idea what they were buying or selling. And worse, they didn't care. Derivatives on derivatives, so-called special investment vehicles to move assets off balance sheets, credit default swaps, and of course, securities backed by risky home loans. There seemed no limit to the financial smoke and mirrors. That meant almost no limit to what was promised, and regulators looked the other way. It worked great as long as everyone kept trusting and the market kept roaring. But all it took was a few broken promises for the whole system to break down. What to do? Not to socialize capitalism, as is now being done. What's lacking isn't capital, it's trust. And the only way to rebuild trust is through regulations that require financial players to stand behind their promises and tell the truth, along with strict oversight to make sure they do. We tell poor nations they have to make their financial markets transparent before capital will flow to them. Let's practice what we preach. Far better to regulate financial markets to keep them honest than to keep bailing them out.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Cleveland Clinic, working to redefine healthcare and the patient experience with the new Miller Family Pavilion and Glickman Tower. More at meetthebuildings.com.
Judging by the emails we've gotten recently, I'd say people are pretty furious about what's going on between Washington and Wall Street. But they're also worried about their own financial situation. Banks are losing people's trust fast. So how are they going to get it back? Here's Rico Galliano.
This is what financial firms are up against.
We found that 64% of the people don't trust the ethics of any kind of major corporation, especially financial. They think that the financial crisis is pure corporate and individual greed.
That's Faith Popcorn, CEO of marketing consultants Brain Reserve. She says to overcome those odds, financial firms should put their message in the mouth of someone people actually trust, like personal finance expert Susie Orman. She's become the voice of calm for the FDIC.
Listen, if your bank is insured by the FDIC and you stay within the coverage limits, your money is 100% safe.
Popcorn also suggests that as firms campaign to reassure customers, they should stick to the truth.
We want direct and clear, honest communications, and I'd say this is an anti-marketing era.
Marketing trust without seeming to market. Another delicate dance Wall Street may have to learn in this unbalanced economy. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.